Welcome. You've turned into Rockstar Millennial Spotlight, featuring Katherine Spitznagel, professional coach, speaker, and author of the book, Rockstar Millennials, Developing the Next Generation of Leaders. On this show, we'll feature millennials who represent this high-energy, creative, and entrepreneurial generation and spotlight Rockstar Millennials who are living their purpose, helping others, and making a difference right where they are. Please join me in welcoming our host, Katherine Spitznagel.
Hi, this is Katherine Spitznagel, your host for Rockstar Millennial Podcast. And today I have an incredible guest, someone I've been waiting for you to meet. Such a history. She's got a lot to share, a lot of wisdom, but also just a passion for young people and for guiding and mentoring them, and a tremendous athlete. So just all of that, and coach, and someone I've been wanting for you to meet, Barb Smith. So welcome, Barb.
Thank you so much, Katherine. It is an absolute pleasure to be here.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so tell us who you are and what you do and where you've been, and don't scrimp, because you've been a lot of places and done a lot of things, and our listeners are going to hear about that. So tell us about you, Barb.
Hey, I am a 30-year former college women's basketball coach turned entrepreneur, former athlete for college. Then I went into coaching, and after 30 years, got off that treadmill, wrote a book, started two companies, and I'm just a motivational speaker, and I absolutely love this shift in my career.
Yeah, this season. Okay, now I know you don't like to brag, but I'm going to make you brag. So tell our folks, you have coached at some big name places. Tell them where all you've coached.
Yeah.
Women's basketball.
Well, yeah, basketball. And I'm 5'5", and I'm rounding up even that. I played at the Ohio State University, and from there I went to Iona College, got a master's, got an MBA, and then from there, that's where I started coaching. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the University of Colorado, San Diego State, Berkeley, University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Louis University, and ended my career at Illinois State.
How about that? I mean, it's like a national tour of places Barb has played and coached. Yeah.
Yeah. That little round ball has taken me to all 50 states and to many, many countries. And I am so grateful for that whole opportunity.
Yeah. And so tell us, you know, how you got started, and maybe that's a natural to play college ball and then coach. How did you get started and make that transition?
You know, I got started up in the hayloft of my grandmother and grandfather's barn on their farmhouse. And that's where I first picked up a true size, which was at that time bigger than I was, basketball. And I started just heaving it up there. And it wasn't as high as it wasn't standard height. It was lower. So I could make some of those.
Oh,
and so that's where I started playing. And then that led to that farmhouse. That farm will forever be implanted in my brain, because we went out there. My parents are both from large, large families. And we'd go out there and we'd make teams of all the cousins and aunts and,
yeah,
and everybody. And so you might be teamed up with grandpa or with another, you know, athlete your age, and you had to compete against each other. And we had basketball, shuffleboard, volleyball, water volleyball, home run derby, backyard, football, everything that you can think of, horseshoes. And it was just this big tournament for the weekend. Yeah. And if you lost, you had to serve the other teams the next meal.
The next meal. Okay.
It was very
high stakes.
Yes. Very high stakes.
And then competitive.
Yeah. It was just so much fun. I look back and it was so much fun and so much, you know, it was free play. It was, you were trying different things, different sports. And it was just, you know, everybody's moving. Grandpa included.
Yeah, everybody did. Okay, so when you got into coaching then, you made that transition from athlete to coach. When did you know, this is what I should be doing?
I was playing through high school and college. And when I was in college, I was a walk-on. So I, for the first year, I was right in the coach's back pocket in every time out because I was so enthralled by whatever she was drawing on that board and then going to see if we did it right and all of that. And I just learned and became a sponge there and just took it all in. And I just loved it. Mm-hmm. So I, 4 years in college, and then I wanted to stay in something like that. So I went and got my master's. I was looking for sports management, thinking I was going to go on and coach and all that. But what came to me was a business degree, an MBA. And I thought, well, this will be great. If I ever get tired of coaching, I'll have a business degree.
Yeah.
And so lo and behold, that is how the path has gone.
Yeah, it played out. Yeah. So, and you've got two incredible businesses. So tell our listeners about that too, what those are.
I love them both, and they both kind of intertwine a little bit. So Courtside Leadership, we inspire peak performance on teams. I grew up on a team, family of six, six kids, eight of us, teams. And so Courtside is all about helping people inspire peak performance on teams. We do workshops for corporations. We do team building. We do leadership coaching. We get the heads of the organization together and help them get people to come to the table, to put down walls, and to work better together. Mm-hmm. So sort of correcting teams when they might be off track a little bit. And I absolutely love to see people come back together. I feel like today in our very, very divisive world right now, teams are breaking. Some teams are breaking. And all we need to do is show them how to come back together. So that is Courtside Leadership. I wrote a book around some of the things that I do in that company called The Six Keys to a Championship Team. And actually, it's not called that. That's what it's about. And then the other company is called Find My Team. And we help high school student athletes find the right college fit. So navigate the crazy college recruiting process, which is really the wild, wild west right now.
Yeah.
Helping them not chase bling, but chase fit.
Yeah, which is just an incredible. And, you've done some workshops for some of the different groups. You and I met through NABO, the Women Business Owners. But I also heard you speak at Women in Leadership. And I'm guessing that was a snapshot of one of your workshops, but very inspirational, a lot of good nuggets and high energy. Yeah. You keep the room going. So I can imagine how impressive that is for a high schooler and actually as a parent who had kids that played different sports, you're like lost. It's like, I don't know. They're throwing things at your kid. And is this something we should do or not do? And I don't mean, even college, even when they're in grade school and you got the travel teams coming at you or this or that, and you think, I don't know, does this kid really have talent or is this just, somebody trying to boost their program? And you really help cut through all that.
No doubt. And I really feel for parents of youngsters today, because in the sports world, there's so much more pressure put on these children in younger ages. And that is also having its effects later on. But parents are sometimes, the decisions are really, really tough and hard on which way, which direction to go. So I get all of that.
Yeah. So how do you, you have a busy life. You travel, you've got both these businesses. As you and I have talked, we both hold on to our people. And so people that you have coached through the years, you're still in touch with. There's a lot of energy that you're sharing all the time. How do you take care of you?
Well, that's probably been one of the toughest lessons I've had to learn, because I am a high energy person. So I feel like I can just keep going and going and going and going. And protein, you know, you're on the move, you could sleep when you could sleep and all of that. So, but what I've found is, as I have gotten older, I've also gotten a wee bit wiser, and I understand that, you know, unless you build in time to take care of yourself, it's not going to happen. And at a younger age, nobody really cares. You're just flying around and your parents are telling you when to go to bed and all those things. But as you get older, you've got to, you know, get yourself 8 hours or 7 hours or whatever you need. You've got to get yourself to work out with whatever you need, your time away from work with whatever you need, the meditation or relaxation or vacation or whatever, whatever works for you. I feel like I had to learn that. And I am pretty now, I'm really good at blending.
Yes.
But I had to learn that. I love the fact that this job allows me to do that even better.
Yeah, great. So there's a lot of purpose in what you do, both in the coaching side and then, you know, also working with young people and their families. How do you feel like you're living your purpose, and where do you see that you make a difference?
I believe that my purpose is to impact lives and inspire people. And when I move around in my little tiny world and can make somebody smile or can make somebody laugh or can bring people together to work on something, I am filled up. I just, that really inspires me back. And so my whole thing is, I would love to, for anybody that is having an issue with leadership, team building, you know, their child or whatever, I would love to be there to just lift those people up, sort of like what you're doing, Catherine. I mean, you do that in your work. So you understand this, you know, this challenge that's out there and the impact that it can make. So I am absolutely living my purpose every day and absolutely loving it.
Yeah. So is there one, you and I have talked about a few, but is there one that you can share with our listeners where there was one example, one comes to mind, and there are probably many, but share one where you went, okay, I made a difference there with an individual or a team or a family. Is there one you can share?
I'll pick one. I'll use Find My Team. So what we do at Find My Team is we help these student athletes navigate the process and get to a place that really is a fit. And if they find fit, then they have this opportunity to thrive. Mm-hmm. And there's thriving in college and there's just surviving it. So our goal is to get them to a thriving situation. So we had this one individual who came to us and said, I'm only going to look at Division I schools. That's it. I'm not going to look at anything else. And we said, okay. And this was a little basketball player. And we said, okay, let's start there. And so we meet with them regularly, going through the steps of the recruiting process, which I won't get into here. But at the end of working with us, she said, I want nothing to do with Division I. Mm-hmm. I'm going Division III because that is absolutely where I see my path fitting and being able to, you know, go into my career after college. And she, you know, I thought, okay, we've gone from Division I where she turned down money, scholarship, to Division II where she's now got to pay. I thought for sure mom and dad were going to come through. So I said, you are fired.
You are fired.
But they were happy as can be. And she went to this school and she's now going to graduate this year from college. Stayed there for 4 years and actually called me her junior year and said, you're never going to believe what happened. And I said, what? And she said, I got my first NIL deal. And that means names, image, and likeness, where these athletes can get paid for their expertise and their skill level. And so everybody says that can only happen in Division I, and you know, all the money's in Division I. And here is this kid, junior year, she's making money now that can help pay for that Division III experience. So I know she's going to be a very successful doctor because she wants to go to med school next. Yeah. But this is how we helped her get to you know, look beyond the division one, look beyond, look at everything that you need for your life and let's see if we can set you up.
Yes, which you did perfectly for her. And as it turned out, and probably parents were happy too, she did get the money. So she could have gone Division One and gotten the scholarship. She went for her the right fit, which you helped to guide. And she still got money.
Yeah, and she's going to get lots more money.
And she's going to get lots more. So, yeah, so good on you. So what's next for you, Miss Barb?
Well, I feel like I want to continue to build powerful teams. I want to continue to invest in young lives and help them acquire their own voice and build up their confidence so that our world can maybe reset itself to better. Mm-hmm. And that means people have to come together and cooperate and communicate and all of the things that it takes for a team to run. And when I speak, even if it's to a family or a one-on-one conversation, or if it's to, you know, 300, 400, 500 people, my goal is to impact at least one person. If I can inspire and impact one person and change a life, then I feel like I'm doing the right thing. And hopefully that life then multiplies and expands that same inspiration to others. And we can, person by person, team by team, organization by organization, family by family, make the world a better place.
Yeah. Love that. You know, another thing that we talked about that I love about what you're doing is when you talk about young people surviving or thriving, again, you have a bigger picture there, a bigger mission, because you talked about if they thrive in college, they will likely thrive in their career and give back sooner. And that was your motivation. I want these folks to thrive so they can give back sooner and come full circle. And I think that is that in itself is inspirational.
I love that you remembered that, first of all.
Of course. Awesome.
But yeah. And not only that they can, but they want to.
They want to.
They want to give back.
Yes. And so, again, you're looking at beyond. You want them to have a good experience in college. You want them to thrive, not just survive. But you want them then to carry those skills into their career and help others. And again, here we have kindred spirits. Yeah.
That's so, exactly right, Catherine. Yes. I mean, I think that's what, you know, attracted me to you was hearing you talk about what you do. And mm-hmm. I applaud people for stepping into that because it can be messy and
it can
and
be
mm-hmm. uncertain, but mm-hmm. People need people.
Yeah. So what encouragement do you have for others?
Well, I would say this, if you can walk by somebody and turn a frown into a smile, or sit next to somebody on a bus, plane, in a car, whatever, and get somebody to lighten their load, then I would say do it. And for millennials, they have a really incredible place in history right now because they are in between generations with a lot of power to affect both ways.
Yes.
And the youngsters coming through need some mentorship and they need some mm-hmm. Buddy to look up to and to believe in them and to listen to them. And millennials they're the next ones that get to help that situation, in my opinion. And I hope that each and every day that they'll take that responsibility more serious.
Yeah. And lead and mentor. And they want to do that. Again, the people that I work with, my peeps and those, this listening audience, they want to lead. They want to mentor. They may not have had the opportunity. They may not have had a good leader. And that's why I think we're both passionate about what we do. Let's show them how. And so that's the invitation is, go and from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I had the opportunity to read your book, Catherine, and it's fascinating and a great read. And I'm not quite done. I'm almost done, but I am really enjoying it and understanding millennials better. So I appreciate the fact that you took the time to write that book.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. Well, Barb, I've talked your ear off. You've had so many great, you have so much great inspiration for us. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to keep track of you. There's more to come. We know that. So thank you. Thank you for joining us.
I am so honored to be here. And really, again, thank you for this opportunity to speak to your audience.
Absolutely. And thanks to our listeners. Thanks for joining us today. Don't miss a podcast. You can find us on rockstarmillennials.com, Apple Podcast, iTunes, or Spotify. And until next time, talk soon.
To share your thoughts about this episode, subscribe to future podcasts, submit a discussion topic, or shine a light on a rockstar millennial in your world, contact Catherine Spitznagle at rockstarmillennials.com and click on Contact Us.